This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Buckets. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again with Billy Scafuri.
You're getting bucket buckets.
Never give up, Buckets Nation. We're trying again.
Here's the difference. This time we are in different rooms in different houses. So there's not going to be an echo.
Right. So for full context, last time we tried this was the most recent episode previous to this one. And we tried to get fancy with it. And it to say it crashed and burned would be a compliment. It was horrible to listen to based on those who listened. And we had to try again.
Yeah. So we tried to do a live watch while in the same room. And your mic was bleeding into mine. Mine was bleeding into yours. It was a dry dress rehearsal, and the theater caught on fire. But we learned lessons that day.
For sure. I mean, to say that we were drunk on the idea of Twitter Spaces out of nowhere is an understatement. Like, you and I just like got hooked. Like, neither one of us was necessarily like in the space to begin with. But then we were like, we can Twitter Space. We can Twitter Space.
Yeah. How hard can it be? You click a button, the audio bleeds, and nobody can hear anything. Thing we get some nasty tweets and we call it a day.
That's most days on the internet. So now you can just hear us experience it firsthand.
I think based on the hundreds that we're getting, the fists that we're seeing pumped in the space itself, the waves, everybody seems to be hearing us clearly, and we're able to record it as a regular podcast too.
All right, so fingers crossed this goes well. Amir, we're not just doing a Twitter Spaces while we do a podcast record. What else are we doing in this episode?
We're watching a classic NBA matchup ripped out of 1949/ the first game of the season, the New York Knickerbockers and the Boston Celtics.
That's what we're doing. We're doing it live. And folks, I've been, for full context, in Hawaii and Palm Springs. That's a flex, for the past 13 days, and I haven't watched a day of NBA basketball. So I was expecting all of these 10-day contracts to be on the court. But I'm seeing Jason Tatum, I'm seeing Julius Randle, and it's starting to feel like the NBA might be turning a corner on Omicron, AB.
You know what it is? They didn't take a break, but you did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's a lesson in Joe that. Johnson, there's a basically. Lesson in that. Take a vacation, folks.
You missed like Joe Johnson, you missed Greg Monroe, you missed Isaiah Thomas playing for two different teams, and that's fine.
Right. And most importantly, I missed the surge on the mainland. So I missed a lot of important things, it sounds like.
Yeah. What was going on Hawaii-wise, dude, as we watched this basketball game? Because no one scored since we started recording, so we haven't missed anything.
That's right.
It's 12-4 for 8 regular minutes.
I've seen Julius Randle airball too, so back to what I'm used to. But I tell you, Hawaii is its own set of rules, AB. Like, what's happening in America, the mainland, really doesn't affect what's happening there. But again, I was in a complete tourist scenario coming off of watching White Lotus, so it was a loaded experience, to put it mildly.
7 people died.
Yes.
You ended up getting off the island.
Right. I really just tried to blend in. But I did miss the NBA. It was fun to hear that Joe Johnson showed up, that Greg Monroe showed up and had like a solid double-double, like off the street.
Lance Stephenson last night.
Did he have 20 in a row or 20 in the first quarter?
It was definitely in the first quarter. I believe it was in a row. I don't know if that meant like 20 consecutive Pacer points or 20 points without a miss, but he was definitely like 8 of 8 at one point with 20 points in the first quarter.
Like, that is up there with J.R. Smith going back to college and joining his golf team for like feel good story of the year.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it kind of spoiled Kyrie Irving's first quarter, because he came out and, you know, the story was about him, and then Lance Stephenson just shows up and starts air guitaring all over the place.
Yeah, that was one for the good guys. Can you fill me in? Can you give me some context on Kyrie's first game back? Because, again, this is the first basketball game I've seen, this Knicks-Celtics game we're watching right now.
Yeah, so, you know, he refused to get vaccinated, so the state of New York was like, you can't play here, or maybe just Brooklyn. And then the Nets were like, this is ridiculous. You can't play on our team if you're not even going to be getting vaccinated and playing at home. We can't just like have a set of rules for everybody and then a special set of rules for you, Kyrie Irving. That's not the way the world works. We don't care how good at basketball you are.
Right. One might call that admirable. Integrity.
Yes. Anyway, flash forward 4 months and they said, fuck it, we'll let you play anywhere.
We've lost 12 games. Come back.
We lost 3 games in a row. Nobody can play. We're out of ideas for replacement players. Kyrie, just
what do you want?
Hop aboard. Yes.
We'll do anything.
We'll play you on the road. It's fine. We'll do this, the two different set of rules. And Kyrie's like, you know what? I stood my ground. I get to play. Let's fucking do it. Day one, Kyrie gets COVID, of course, obviously.
Yes. Yes. It was like faster than day one. It was like we were still counting the minutes from the Woj tweet to the second Woj tweet.
Yeah.
It was like a matter of hours. Kyrie has left his house for the first time in 19 months. Kyrie Irving has the Omicron disease.
Right. Because he's sort of entering an environment where 8 of 14 players are sick. So odds are he's going to get sick. And he did, in fact, get sick. So flash forward 10 days, you're in Hawaii. Kyrie Irving beats the Delta or Omicron, whatever variant he got, and he gets to play basketball, but not in Brooklyn still. That's still a rule.
Yes.
So he
Which
gets
could
to
come
play.
To bite them come the playoffs, come like weird game sevens if they don't have home court advantage. Right.
Well, I don't even know if they're going to keep up this he can play road games only. I'm not sure what their new policy is. I haven't been keeping that close of tabs on it, but he got to play yesterday for the first time in Indiana.
And did it look like he didn't miss a step, or was it like he was clearly hadn't played professional basketball in a year?
Well, the first quarter was pure Lance Stephenson time. So he was struggling, and Lance was
born
just
ready.
Born fucking ready. That's right. And the Nets were down big. And then I guess he settled into it, started playing well. Looked like the Kyrie of old. Shot well. Let it come back. Turns out him, James Harden, and Kevin Durant still very good at basketball.
Yeah, big shocker there.
They came back and they beat the Pacers, and now the Pacers are kind of in distress. Not necessarily because of that game, but yeah, they're not looking good this season.
Yeah, they've been missing Brogdon for a stretch now, I think. So the Kyrie thing, when you say that like you don't know about this whole road situation, what do you mean by that? Do you mean that he might also not play in some road games, or what do you mean?
No, I don't know if they're going to keep him on this like temporary 50-50 basis, or if this is just like a current, we don't have a lot of players, so we got to play you style deal.
That seems like bad optics to be like, thanks for those 4 games, go away again. We'll call you when we need you. Right? Like, it feels like once the lid is off, now this is like now the precedent, no? That Kyrie plays in road games.
But they also changed the precedent before, so they're not averse to changing the precedent. And maybe that's the precedent, just constantly changing your mind based on the quote.
Yes, the precedent is that there will be no precedent.
Yes, exactly. So you haven't seen anything? You haven't seen any Knicks games or anything like that?
No, I've been like totally off the map, like I said, which has been a nice vacation. It's nice to come back with a fresh set of eyes. But just to put a coda on that Brooklyn conversation, it is odd that unvaccinated road teams can bring their players to Madison Square Garden and Barclays. That doesn't
really... Oh, is that true?
Yeah, which doesn't track, you know? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that. So if you're unvaccinated, but on the Pacers, you can play in Brooklyn. But if you're on the Nets, because you're technically a city employee or something like that.
It might go down to that granular, but I heard that on Zach Lowe's podcast or somewhere, and I was like, that's a tough one to wrap your mind around.
Jesus. Just get vaccinated, I guess. That's one way to avoid this entire headache.
Right. Amir, one narrative in this Boston Knicks game that we're watching right now is that you have the Knicks over and I have Boston's over. Now, I am a Knicks fan, but you are also rooting for the Knicks in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm very confused. I also have the Celtics under. So, like, I'm all over the place. I need the Celtics to lose. You need
I have
the Celtics to lose.
So this actually carries a lot of weight for you and I.
Yeah, we should really switch those teams. There's no reason for us to be this torn.
We've talked about it before. The reason why I picked the Knicks under is from being a Knicks fan for the past 20-some-odd years, emotional hedge is the play. Like, bet against them so that when they inevitably let you down, you win a little money. That's where my heart and head was at.
And then when they were 5-1, I'm like, all right, I guess I picked right. And your emotional hedge didn't turn out, but at least your team is good. Now, since then, they've gone, 13?
One of us has been watching the Knicks. One of us has been watching the Knicks for the past 15 years.
Right, exactly. But they were playing so well last year, and they came out of the gate really hot. But it's hard to tell what's good, what's normal, and what's injuries, what's COVID, and what's not.
Yeah, the cameras in this Celtics-Knicks game that we're watching keep cutting to an injured Kemba Walker, and they're not showing Derrick Rose because I don't think he's there. So we lost two of our like starting point guards, or like our one and two, pretty fast this season, which doesn't help at all.
It was the Derrick Rose injury was the biggest part. Like, he was there, the Knicks' savior. Whenever like the starting five wouldn't play well, it's like, let's put in Derrick Rose for 36 straight minutes, and he would save the game. Now they don't have that safety valve.
Yeah. You know what? One thing that I was realizing, Nick Nurse plays his players like 44 minutes a game, but Tibbs gets all of the heat for playing Randall 38. Suddenly 38 is like he got a quarter off compared to Siakam. I was looking at some of those dudes. He plays like a seven man. This is the Toronto Raptors coach, of course, but like players who get like minimal minutes play 40. And I was like, Nick Nurse is a secret Tibbs killer.
Yeah, nobody cares. I didn't even know that. I did not follow that at all. Because there's no precedent there. Again, there's no like backstory of like Bulls players complaining and or getting injured or anything.
It's so much. It really like sells the whole narrative of it all. Where it's just like, once you have your reputation, that's it. Regardless, period. You know.
Somebody asked LeBron recently about the minutes he's playing, because you know he's played the third most minutes all time, and he's also averaging 37 minutes a game.
Dang.
And somebody asked him, like, are you concerned about playing 37? He's like, for me, there's no real difference between 37 and 32 or 34. Like,
right.
The recovery, it's like a full day of recovery, then like training leading up to playing. Like, for him, it doesn't really matter if he's playing 32, 35, or 37 minutes. Like, those are kind of negligible in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, like cumulatively at this point, saving 4 minutes a half over the course of 40 games means nothing to his net career. You know, he's already played way too many minutes for that to actually have a long-term effect. He's showing. Speaking of the Lakers, AB, I haven't, like I said, been watching a ton of games. AD is still out. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, he's still hurt. He strained an MCL, something in his knee, and they're going to reevaluate him in weeks and weeks. And then, you know, the old, okay, now he can get back to it, but it's still a few weeks away. All right, now he's getting close, but it's still a few weeks away. So we'll see. I'm expecting after the All-Star break.
I lofted out the narrative early in the season that the Lakers might be better with two superstars. Have they been playing better or worse, call it in the last 10 games, with just Russ and LeBron running the show?
It's a good theory. I think the fault in that theory is that Russ is not a superstar. So we haven't really quite figured it out.
He's getting paid like one.
Yes, getting paid for past superstar productivity. Don't know if he's got the superstar potential in him anymore. Although,
okay, so
I will
how would you quantify? Sorry to interrupt, but I do want to know how do you? Yeah. What would be your baseline for this would make Russ a superstar?
I think it would be if just by definition, if he was a superstar, they would be winning more basketball games. Like Russ would be able to carry a team to a positive plus minus while LeBron rested.
But Russ was a superstar last year on a team with less stars, correct?
I think he was a superstar in the second half of the season and not a superstar in the first half. So he sort of worked his way up to superstar status. But like, I guess it was fringe All-NBA third team superstar. So like, he was on the borderline of superstar.
Yeah, superstar. I think that the probably inherent issue we're running into right now is that superstar is just so vague. You know, it's like, it's just so vague. But it's he, in my mind, is, we both agreed, he's the best third best player on any team in the NBA.
He definitely has the most accolades of any third best player. But if you're including Kyrie, like I would Kyrie's above Westbrook or, you know. And Westbrook isn't even playing as the Lakers' third best player. Recently, it's been, you asked how the Lakers have been doing the last 10 games. They've gone from barely losing to shitty teams to barely beating shitty teams. So slightly better, trending in the right direction. Still not blowing out anybody. No, we're not winning by 30 at all. No, that's not how it goes.
And as a Lakers fan, is this like overall disappointing, or are you like, all right, we'll take what we can get right now, like trending in the right way, just got to get to the playoffs?
There's a bunch of disappointed Laker fans. I am more of a, like you said, take what we can get Laker fan. I'm like, you know what? This is... We're beating the Rockets by three, but it's better than losing to them by three. And maybe when we get AD back, we'll be able to beat any team by three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take what you can get at this point. But it is such a stark difference from the outlook of before you guys played a game this year. It is wild.
Yes, we had the we were supposed to be 30-7, not the Golden State Warriors. Remember when like people didn't know whether the Warriors would be a 500 team because they didn't even make the playoffs last year?
Yeah, what is so different about them? Is it the Jordan Poole and Gary Payton Jr.? Is it Gary Payton Jr.? Like additions, or is Steph that much better? What changed?
I think it might be they haven't had to sort of integrate James Wiseman into anything, so they haven't been like forcing a square peg into a round hole.
And addition then, by subtraction, right?
Yeah, and then they replaced those minutes with Bielitsa, who's like a perfect stretch five for them. And then Steph and Draymond haven't been hurt. And also, in addition to that, they got like Iguodala back. So like, it's just like everything on the fringe plus every injury thing has broken positively for them.
So theoretically, in the next 45 days, obviously in like the next 3 days, Clay comes back. But in the next like month and a half, James Wiseman does too. Is that kind of bad to have to cycle them in?
Clay, I think, is going to be solid for them because he's just going to have to replace like a guy who has to sit in the corner and make 24 straight threes. Like that'll Correct. Be, I'm curious to see how good he'll be defensively, but I think he'll be a natural fit. It's the Wiseman minutes that it's going to be weird. Like, I don't know who their backup center is now. Like, he has to outplay Juan Toscano Anderson or something. That seems doable.
Right. Yeah. James Wiseman. It's just like, at what point do you say, you know what? We've been so good without you. We're still going to keep you on the shelf. I know it's like their new toy, but at some point you have to say, we are really producing right now.
Well, they also have other new toys. They have Kuminga, who's been playing great, and Moody, who's another like lottery pick. So they've had like two extra lottery picks in addition to Wiseman. They've done like an insane job of balancing a roster that's both being rebuilt and also like the old guard. It's kind of unprecedented for, that's the word of the night, I guess, unprecedented.
Yeah, it's unprecedented, except that like they won like this for like almost 5 years in a row. It's like so precedented for them, but right now it's just like they're back somehow.
Right, but like why weren't they back last year? I don't understand how. I guess last year they were worse than they needed to be, and this year they're slightly better than they needed to be, and now those two together is a stark contrast.
Is there any reality in which Steph Curry hits 10,000 three-pointers? Like, he's cleared three.
Switching gears, can Steph shoot threes until he's 48? Well, he's in his
11th season. How old would he have to be?
Like,
how many years has he been in the league? Can we try and do this math to see how old he'd have to be to foreseeably get to 10K?
I believe from age 22 to 32-ish, so about 10 years, he's
been okay.
in the NBA.
This is tough.
3,000 threes. Yeah. He can get to, he'll get between 350 and 400 in like his prime years. So like, you got to imagine another 10 years of this productivity would be really, really, really impressive. So I would put the over under at slightly under double what he has now. I'll go somewhere in the 5,000 to 6,000 range. So the idea of getting 10,000, I don't see it.
Tough. Yeah. With some decline. Yeah. You got to assume that's tough. I will say Steph 6K would be a great way to go out.
On his 6,003, he just fucking retires.
He just Antonio Browns it and just rips off his clothes, runs off the court. People are like, what the hell just happened?
Releases a few text messages the next day. He's good to go.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
It was funny how, just switching gears to the NFL real briefly, I was in, I don't even know where I was, but I was out of town, and I got a text from you that you just said, Antonio Brown retired on the field. And I looked at the video and I was like, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I wasn't quite embellishing. He literally took his jersey off mid-game and said goodbye to the fans without his shirt in the end zone. That seemed like a retirement.
Yeah, you gotta love jogging through the end zone. Like, you don't even do that on playground basketball courts. When a game is going on, you don't usually jog like across the court when the game's happening. And he was just like, nah, this, I'm done.
In a stadium that's not his home stadium. He was saying goodbye to New York Jets fans, I guess?
I think he was saying goodbye, like a big royal goodbye.
And then he was just at the Nets game the following night. It was such a funny like PR move. He's like, nah, I'm good. I'm still sitting courtside at these games.
And if I'm, I might be incorrect, but I don't think I am. I believe he dropped a single that night too. A song. A music song.
What? He rapped a song.
I could
that
be
night.
Wrong, but I heard whispers that AB ripped off his clothes, ran through the end zone, dropped a single, and then went to the Netscape in 24 hours.
That would be amazing. I would love that for AB. As one AB and, to another.
That's big respect from one AB to another. I don't know if any of the listeners can somehow confirm or deny with some sort of thumbs up on this Twitter space that he dropped a single, but we both would love to hear that he dropped a single.
Just a single. Is that a SoundCloud?
Not an EP.
Single? No.
Not an EP. This no. This was a song that he just had in his email, and he's like, I think I'm just going to drop this now.
I'm going to... Oh, that retired. Was fucking insane. I think I'm going to upload a track now to SoundCloud.
This is it's the equivalent of going viral on Twitter and then below dropping a link to your SoundCloud. He went viral on Twitter for retiring mid-game and then dropped his link.
I think, didn't Meta World Peace do that? Ron Artest, I think when he got his like season-long suspension for the Malice in the Palace, he's like, I'm producing music now. I got an album coming out or a group that he was producing of maybe lady rappers. Does that ring a bell?
That all rings a bell, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And stay productive, Ron Artest. Good for you.
You know, they say musicians want to be athletes and vice versa. So there you go.
And Ron Artest somehow became both. As a reminder to anyone who just showed up at this Twitter Spaces, Amir and I are currently recording a Buckets podcast and exploring also doing a Twitter Spaces while watching the Knicks versus the Celtics.
Yeah, I noticed we kind of dropped the ball on the actual watching and commenting on the game thing.
It's funny because I feel like you and I are recording a podcast and we're also just watching the game, but we're not talking about the game. Like, I've been watching the game this entire time.
Yeah, I'm staring at the game instead of you. And then as the game is happening, I'm talking about Antonio Brown's singing career.
That's right. And I can't confirm or deny, but it feels like the Knicks have 11. And it also feels like the Knicks always have 11.
Yeah, the Celtics.
A freaking 11, dog.
The Celtics are also not playing well this year. Like, they're 18-20, as are the Knicks.
Right, like the Celtics will have 19 at the end of the quarter, and that sucks. But I feel like the Knicks spiritually have been stuck on 11 for like the last 20 games of the season.
Are we getting the same commercials? I feel like I'm getting a different commercial set because I'm watching via the TNT app and you're watching on YouTube TV.
So right now I'm being sold on CarMax.
Yeah, that's totally different than what I'm seeing. Did you see the Karl Anthony Towns COVID testing thing called VUE, V-U-E?
No, how does Karl Anthony Towns factor into it?
So he's I guess it's the official testing. I'm also now seeing a Jersey Shore 2022 reunion show where the situation is squatting his child, but, it's the official.
That's a good reason to divert from talking about a testing service for COVID-19.
Yeah. I don't know which one of these things is more offensive, but I'll talk about the COVID testing. It's like this, it's almost like a home testing site. So like, instead of just like a single test, it's this box where you can like replace cartridges and test you, I believe, with the accuracy of a PCR test as many times as you want. You just have to buy like these cartridges that like upload the information to your phone via Bluetooth. It's kind of like a fancy testing device that some companies are using to test their employees.
Huh. And is Karl Anthony Towns an investor, like the face of it? How does he factor in?
Yeah, he's the spokesperson.
Okay, got it. Did he start talking trash? Did he call Russ a stat chaser at one point? That was surprising.
Yeah. By the way, he completely destroyed the... You know when he went to a Laker game and he got that 50 burger by AD? I think that stuck around with him because whenever he plays the Lakers, he's very, very good and very, very angry now. Like, he's abusing the Lakers now to the point where it's like, Jesus, did we do something to offend you? Or maybe he's just this mad now. You know, he had that like post-game press conference where he's like, I'm tired of fucking losing. Maybe this is his new attitude.
Yeah, well, I will say that the game we went to like 2 or 3 years ago, he was manhandled by Anthony Davis. Like, man, like we were watching like with our jaws on the floor, like, this is embarrassing. Like, he's getting belittled, physically belittled out there. So I'm glad that stuck with him because it was embarrassing to watch.
Yes, and he, Michael Jordan meme took that personally.
Yes, correct. And then his team is like 3 games under .500 and he's like, I'm ready to talk some shit.
So then, yeah,
this is the best my team has ever been.
He got placed in the COVID protocol himself, and then he was on a Twitch stream gaming, and you know, a gamer that I'd never heard of started asking him all these personal questions, and Karl Anthony Towns was on that honesty serum. He was just telling it like it is. He was talking about how Russ is pretty good as a player, but you know, he's chasing stats, and then Draymond got involved, like, don't talk about Russell Westbrook. I saw you in a game when we were up 30 and you were still there trying to shoot and rebound. So
yeah, this is that good gossip. Good high school gossip.
I think Draymond is part of like the old cool guard, like, don't talk about my fellow all-stars this way. Karl Anthony Towns. I don't think Karl Anthony Towns is part of the cool group.
Karl Anthony Towns occupies a very interesting one-man lane. Like, he doesn't really have, like, I don't know his crew. I know he's a Kentucky dude, correct?
Yeah, and he's friends with D'Angelo Russell. Like,
yeah, I guess that's the one. But, like, Karl Anthony Towns, something about him feels like a little opaque from a personality standpoint. Yeah, I don't know if that's how he wants it.
I think he's kind of, like, religious and or video game nerdy. So, like, he's kind of, occupies. He's not, like, in the same social sphere as those, like, clutch clients and LeBron friends.
Yeah, there was always a couple players too. Like, Roy Hibbert was one. LaMarcus Aldridge was another, where I was like, you'd rather be on Portlandia than in the NBA. Like, you'd rather be performing sketch comedy, but you're burdened by your 6'11" frame. And he could be another one where we're just like, shit, I'm 7 foot. But the weird thing about Karl Anthony Towns is that experts all tell me that he is like the greatest, like one of the greatest offensive centers we've ever seen. And it's like,
right.
Is he? Is he?
Definitely when he's playing the Lakers in the last 2 years, he's one of the greatest offensive centers I've ever seen. He's like hitting threes at 45%, taking it down low, hitting every jump hook, dunking on people. It's pretty impressive.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, then I'm just not watching enough Karl Anthony Towns. I am watching Anthony Edwards highlights still, and it seems like he's getting better by the game.
He's awesome. And he was another player who was like hunting. The Lakers played them again recently, and like whoever was guarding him, like, he would take it personally, like ask for a complete ISO, and there's no slowing him down whatsoever. There's nobody on the Lakers that could stay in front of him at all.
Can you say what his comp would be? Like, is his comp LeBron?
I guess it was more like Dwayne Wade, but he like dunks higher. So like he can get to wherever he needs to go and finish. And it seems like he can hit threes better than Dwayne Wade. He had like 10 threes in a game recently.
Damn, 10 threes. Tell me about your boy, because you've been texting me about him, but I really don't know enough about him. It seems like he got more than a 10-day contract now. Stanley Johnson and why he matters to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Stanley is the manly. We got another fan favorite out of the blue. Of all these 10-day contracts that like came and went and you have high hopes and then they're gone within a week and a half. When Stanley Johnson played for the Lakers, it was like,
yes,
the fans were so starved for a player that could just defend James Harden. He D'd up James Harden, by the way, did not like stop him at all. He was still like getting 30 and 10, but like to just see a 6'7" like strong, fast 24-year-old on the Lakers, like, yeah, we don't have that. We literally have zero players like that. Like, we shipped
Stanley Johnson's Kuzma, 24.
We shipped KCP. We shipped Alex Caruso. All of our 20-year-old defenders are gone. Uh-huh. And in walks Stanley Johnson, who is, let me double check, Stanley Johnson age. 25.
Damn. The name Stanley Johnson assumes that you're like 37 out the gate. Like, out the womb. It just feels like an older name.
So like
Stanley.
Just the fact that we, one, have a Stanley, which is who else in the NBA?
Don't take that for granted. Take that for granted. Not every team has a Stanley.
I don't know if any team has a Stanley. Is there a Stanley?
You do, friend. You do.
We Stan Johnson on the Lakers.
We Stanley.
So much so that like Laker fans were offended that they didn't offer him. They offered him another 10-day contract, some weird contract stipulation, but he had to take a game off in between those two contracts, and we were missing Stanley. We needed Stanley.
And Lakers
fans, we tried to start Ariza, and we're like, no, Ariza's not our man. We need Stan.
I look forward to the Lakers giving Stanley a $32 million contract next season. Just like a 4-year 128. And it's like, whoops, well, we did it again. We spent it all again.
Fortunately, we can't afford it even if we wanted to. So our budgets are tied regardless. I don't know why anybody else didn't want Stanley, though. He's a solid defender, and he can seemingly hit a corner three.
Yeah, well, he's doing it for you. You text me a lot of, it's been, I think, is his name Austin Reeves?
Yep.
Austin Reeves. You've been texting me a lot of Austin Reeves in December, and it seems like Stanley Johnson is kind of the Stan of the month for Amir.
Yeah. Well, after we saw him hit that game winner against Dallas, he got COVID and like has played two games since.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So that's why you've been quiet.
Yeah.
Speaking of hate to see it, Amir.
Stanley already had. Yeah. This Knicks score.
Speaking of hate to see it, there's 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, 9:40 to be exact. The Knicks are down 13 points, and we've only scored 21. We just took a three-pointer, and it just hit the backboard, folks. No rim, just one of those, like, boinks. An old-fashioned boink off glass.
A good old-fashioned boink.
Nothing but nothing. Oh, these Knicks.
Have you been following these new guys at all, the Grimes, the McBrides of everything?
I watched them a lot in Summer League and got to know their game. They're both, like, perfectly fine. It's just, like, the Knicks are down 16 right now. And, you know, the Knicks are just... They're falling back into the mean again, the median, where they just kind of have a very average team without that star that can like pull them out of rough stretches. And it's a lot of like hopeful youth. That's all we got.
Yeah. Well, that was supposed to be Randall. Like Randall was supposed to be their Tatum and supposed to be their Brown. But it seems like when they only have Randall and RJ, I guess, if one of those two guys aren't playing well, it leads to a 25-point half.
And yeah, and we are currently down 16, 40 to 24. So this is why we emotional hedge, folks. Because when your team's down 16 and you bet the other guys, everything's going to be okay in the end.
This is such a stark difference than opening night when it was like, it felt like this could have been like a number two versus number three matchup in the East.
Yeah, the Knicks fans were drunk on Bing Bong for a couple days. Like, for the first 2 weeks, we were just drunk on Bing Bong. We weren't really watching.
It was a double overtime game to start the season, and it was the birth of Bing Bong.
And the death of the season.
Yeah. And now, both of these teams are indeed tied, but for 10th.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be scary if we don't make the playoffs. I don't even know what next season looks like. Just to fill people in real quick. Obi just threw down a dunk. Amir, you clowned Obi on the draft, saying how he's older than most of the NBA players who got drafted the year before, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So you've watched a little bit of the Knicks. Has any sort of negativity washed off you when it comes to the Obi Toppin experience?
He's a solid, like, JaVale McGee rim runner style guy, like backup center, bring him in, dunks on people. But he often is trying to shoot threes, and I've never seen him make threes very... confidently. Maybe I'm missing.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither, for sure.
Okay. He's kind of like when we let Dwight Howard shoot for some reason. Like some bigs are grandfathered into the ability to shoot 27 footers and some are asked politely not to ever.
Right. And he's trending towards the politely, but we're New York fans, we really like those jams. We just really like when you dunk it.
I mean, he went through his legs mid-game, so at a certain point, and you that's have like, to believe it.
So here's my thing on that. He's done it more than once, and you can't really do it twice. You know what I mean when I say that? Like, you did it once, and that was cool. The second time, it's like, all right, like, we got to just win some games here.
Yeah, you can only do it when you're up big. You can't really do it when you're down 27, and you don't want to do it in a close game either.
It was almost like an apology to the fans, like the most recent time he did it. Like, we were down, and he dunked through his legs, like, as if, like, maybe you'll like this? Shrug? Is this what you want?
This is better than losing and not doing a between the legs dunk.
Right. Oh, boy. Amir, Knicks are down 17 to the 10th seed in the East right now.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like you look above the Celtics and think, actually, we're better than the Celtics. We're roughly as good as this team. Like, they're not as good as any playoff team in the East.
No, I'd kill for Enes Kanter right now. I'd die for a Marcus Smart on my team.
That's Enes freedom to you.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
Yes, but it's tough because they lost a seemingly unnecessary player in Derrick Rose, but actually their most necessary player.
Yeah, that's what it kind of like revealed is that while it seems like we're deep, there's just certain players we just can't afford to lose. And that's almost all of them is the truth.
And it's also, again, hard to tell because some teams are playing without eight guys and some teams are fully healthy playing against teams without eight guys. So, I mean, no clue.
It does seem like we've maybe peaked on the amount of players going out into health and safety like last week, maybe 10 days ago.
Yeah, I think, at the end of December was the worst. I mean, teams were literally postponing games because they couldn't find enough healthy humans. At one point, the Lakers were playing in the same five-man unit, Russ, Rondo, and Isaiah Thomas.
That's 15 feet of man.
That's not okay. That shouldn't be allowed.
That's true. Yeah, seriously. If David Stern can deny Chris Paul coming to the Lakers all those years ago, like, Adam Silver needs to get on the court and say, sorry, Vogel, you're going to have to take one out.
All right. So, like, I mean, at a certain point, you're like, okay, Lakers, you should be better than the Bulls. But, like, you know, we almost beat the Chicago Bulls, who are currently the one seed in Chicago, again, with playing two guys who are no longer on the team. Rondo's in Cleveland and Isaiah Thomas. Maybe he's in Dallas, but maybe he's no longer in Dallas.
So my question to you, over under teams that Isaiah Thomas plays for this year, 2.5.
So it's the two that he's already gotten, plus potentially a contract at the end of the year with like Orlando Magic type deal.
Maybe, or it's a playoff team that just wants to have as much talent as they can going in the event one of their point guards gets COVID.
I mean, he was pretty solid as long as he didn't have to play many minutes, and he can score. He just can't watching him play defense, he's obviously short, but now he's a little slow too. It's not, he's not stopping anybody, unfortunately.
Right. So you're saying he's going to, after this 10-day contract, it's a wrap.
I got to go under 2.5, but I can see a world where somebody, like a Denver team, takes a flyer on him.
Yeah, I could see the Lakers re-signing him, is the truth.
Oh, God, please. I think we've seen enough. We needed him when Russ got COVID, so we signed Isaiah Thomas, and then like a day later, it was like, actually, it was a false positive, and Russ was back.
It sucks.
Like, well, we still have Isaiah Thomas. I guess they can play together. They can't play
together. It's just like, well, we rented this thing. Like, we might as well use the thing. Like, when we went to Hawaii, we rented 4 bikes, but we really only needed 2. So, like, on the last day, we're like, how about 4 of us go for a bike ride? We have these 4.
We need to at least occupy 3 of these bikes.
Like, let's all feel better and use the thing we rented once.
That's right. A sunk cost, as they say. That was Isaiah Thomas. He was a sunk cost. We have him. We might as well play him. Maybe it'll help him get a job elsewhere.
Amir, I don't want to reveal too much, but you did receive a document with some sort of technical updates on our over-unders.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about this. Over Twitter, somebody DM'd me, fan of the show, John Iyer. Shout out to J.M. Iyer, 1998 on Twitter.
Big shout.
Was able to, I think because it was roughly the halfway point, he was able to extrapolate what the wins and losses would be for every team if they just literally repeated their first half of the season.
Okay.
And then see how the over-under squads would do in our over-under league.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
I was happy to be currently in second. I thought the Knicks struggling and Miami sort of crapping the bed, and I have the Orlando Magic over. I didn't expect to be in second place as of right now, so I'm happy with being in second.
Okay. Yeah, I was in third and I was devastated.
Because you have the Cavs over, which currently is on pace for 45 wins, and their over-under was 26.5. Like,
100%.
If you just drafted the Cavs, you'd be in first place. That's how good
they're doing. Oh, by a mile. If I just sat out the final 7 rounds, by a mile. But not just that, I'm also very confident in myself. And right now, I'm not very confident. Like, someone is above us, and maybe we can hold off on the details and go into this in more detail in an upcoming episode, but someone is above us, and they're wrecking us.
Yes, they're doing great, and shout out to the person above us. But you have the wildest variance. Like, some teams are like, you know, I'm 1.5 off, 4.5 off, maybe 9 games off. You're like, Cavs are 18.5 in your favor. The Memphis under you, they're doing great. It's 11.5 to your detriment. You have the Suns under, that's 12.5 off. You chose like the biggest biggest incorrect predictions of every team.
Go big or go home, folks. You go on the blogs, and then you go big and you go home. But yeah, we can dig into that later. But what was it? You said his name was John, who made that?
Yeah, shout out to John.
Yeah, big shout out to John.
I will say, Knicks. So your best pick is the Cavs over, and your worst pick is the Suns under your last pick. So it's kind of...
And Cavs over was great. Cavs over was great until Ricky Rubio went down. Ricky Rubio was like a secret triple-double off the bench. And he tore his ACL. Rose.
Yeah. Yes. He was like the backup point guard that was like one of the most important members of the team.
Have you watched any Evan Mobley this season?
Yes, he's amazing.
He truly is amazing. This is so exciting. It's so exciting to watch him play basketball. He's got to be the rookie of the year.
I would hope so. And he doesn't, the best thing about him is that he doesn't look like any other player. Like, he looks like somebody stretched out Kevin Durant, who already looks like somebody stretched out Jason Tatum, who already looks like somebody stretched out somebody else. Like, he is so long and so thin and so athletic. And he's like making like up and unders and threes and dunking over people and blocking people. He's a freak, and he's only 20 years old.
Yeah, this rookie class is very fun. The Scotty Barnes experiment, too, is really fun in Toronto. Those two dudes are like, oh, they almost feel like old school players where they're big, talented, and going to be a problem. Like, the power forward position is going to be a problem again.
And Cade Cunningham is also good.
Has he been good? That's like, he hasn't gotten much press for a number one my way.
Yeah, I think he was hurt and then got COVID. But like, when he was playing, he was really, really solid.
Yeah. Speaking of really, really solid, the Knicks are now down 22 to the 10th seed in the East.
At home, though. At home. You got to realize
this. I lied. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I lied. We're down 25.
So, so MSG faithful, one of the loudest arenas in sports, they're not afraid to... I can't hear the TV, but they're not afraid to boo, right? Right? They're not afraid
to boo. Yeah, I'm wondering that same thing right now. This is one of the interesting things about watching a game on mute. Like, you don't know how pissed New York is. There's like, there's gradients to it, right? Like, it can go from like yellow to orange to red. And I imagine we're in the orange right now, where it's a lot of like loud sighs and restless, just kind of big exhales, but not quite ready to... Come halftime, if we're down 30, yes, they will be rained down with booze, would be my guess. We could even put on the volume for that to find out.
It'd be a good finale to this episode.
Just a round of booze.
Let's see if the Celtics go up 69-39 going to the half. If it's like a buzzer-beating three for Boston, you would think the boobers would have to come out.
The score is 57-35 right now. If we don't hit... let's call it 45 points by the end of the half. I would hope that MSG would boo.
Because that's what they think it takes to turn this ship around, right? Is the fans have to get involved.
And a lot of them are like union guys and construction workers that are like, I paid $125 for this seat. Boo! Just boo!
Yeah, it's not coming from the celebrities. It's not coming from Tracy Morgan or Jon Stewart.
They have no idea what the score is. This is about the construction workers who spent half of their life savings on these season tickets, and it's boo!
And again, you don't want to trade the Knicks over for the Knicks under. I'm willing to give it up to you because I know you're such a Knicks fan.
I think we've done this a couple times, and every time I try and remind you, I expect the Knicks to lose. Like, I want the Knicks to win, but I expect the Knicks to lose.
That was a great
We're down 24.
Time Lord over. That's enough. This is like a really sad Manning cast of a game.
Yes. You know, and here's the thing, AB, is that a lot of informed Buckets listeners will hit us up after these episodes where we watch a game and talk about it live. And they're like, you really should do the second half because that's where all the action happens. And granted, they are correct. But in a game like this, I don't think the Knicks have anything close to it within them to, you know, come back from a 27 point comeback at all. So this is one game where I think we might have guessed.
If they're down 27 and they lose the third quarter, like, who's checking in to the fourth at that point? These are already like the replacement players.
That's true.
Like, who do they bring in? They have to start,
Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell, Marcus Camby.
That'd be great.
Whoopi Goldberg coaches the team.
My question is, all those 10-day players, like, Joe Johnson was on the team. Like, is he just, he knows he just goes home now? Like, that was just like a fun little paycheck that he earned and game
I'll tell
over
you.
And did he go to a practice?
It was good advertising for the Big Three. Ice Cube's the Big Three. Because he was like an MVP in the Big Three. He was an absolute stud in the Big Three. And a lot of those Big Three dudes can still ball. And it was fun to watch them just like show up real quick for a couple of five-on-fives.
ISO Joe. I got a good question in one of my basketball chat text threads. I forget who asked it, so I apologize for forgetting. But somebody asked, would Kobe have come back if he were alive?
No way.
You don't think so?
No way. I don't think so.
He's too
that
good.
Man. He retired. He'd probably be coaching his daughter.
But wouldn't it have been awesome? Just like, let's fucking get Kobe in there for, I don't know, one game, two games. Let's suit
at
it
this
up.
Point, how many years would
Michael
he be?
Jordan?
It crossed my mind. I mean, you know, I shouldn't be such a dick and say, no, he wouldn't. Because it crossed my mind, I was like, what if Mike just suited up for the Wizards? Just like, what if? So I really shouldn't be so dismissive. But how many years would Kobe have been out of the league at this point?
I think it's been five, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a while. I mean, but then again, Joe Johnson retired in 1994, so I don't know what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I think I read some stat where it's like, Joe Johnson's shot marks 20 years in between his first and last shot as a Celtic.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Because he was a rookie. He was a rookie for Boston in like 2002?
Yeah, I guess so. You know better than I about that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, yeah. Vince Carter's like, yeah, but I played in four decades, dog. Four decades.
And I didn't need COVID to sort of shake me out of retirement. I was in
it. Yeah, that was, that was a pure four. That was four straight decades, clean. No like, pandemics.
They had like Dirk Nowitzki appreciation night for the Mavericks yesterday. Are you telling me like him fucking suiting up, checking into the game? That would have been one of the greatest moments in Mavericks history.
In the middle of his speech, he just tears off his suit. Yeah. 41 is back. They like, bring the banner back down.
Yeah, it's a halftime ceremony. He checks into the game to play the fucking third quarter. How sick would that be?
Tears his Achilles.
Instantly.
Go straight to commercial. Everyone pretends like it didn't happen. Dirk is carted off. He's waving, and we're telling ourselves, this is great, he's still waving, but we know.
Well, the problem is, like, they're bringing in these retired athletes as, like, kind of, like, stunt casting them to play these roles. You don't think there was a celebrity that could have checked in? Like,
dude,
who's that
Adam
rapper that was,
Sandler.
Like, doing? Yes,
Adam Sandler, dude.
Yes.
He plays with
a few minutes for the Clippers?
J. Cole. J. Cole plays overseas. He plays semi-professional overseas. Like, why not? Who cares? Jaleel White? Who cares? Kevin Hart.
Let's go rock and jock on this shit. Like, why are why are we limiting ourselves?
Dan Cortez.
They bring Bill Bellamy. 25-point basket just for them. Hey, the Knicks are on a mini run here. We're not going to hear boos. We're hearing applause, it looks like.
Bummer. I'd be curious. I guess the mini run's going to diminish the boos. We're down 16 and we're on a run, folks. So that's all the clarity you kind of need here.
Hey, this was like the Laker-Knicks games we watched. Like, the Knicks were up like 25 and then Lakers went on a mini run to end the half and they just kept it going in the third quarter. Maybe magic will happen. How about if the Knicks do make a run and cut it to like 10? We don't keep the podcast going, but we can hop back on a space to discuss and like really, really talk about the game. That being said, if the Celtics open the third quarter with a 17-0 run, we don't have to do that at all.
Okay, got it. So if the Knicks make this a game, maybe we just pop in for a quick check-in on Twitter Spaces to watch the end.
Yeah. But otherwise, okay. I mean, it's closer than you thought at half.
It's closer than I thought. We're still down 16, and that doesn't bring me much joy because we don't have that much offensive firepower.
Question mark.
We have 11, folks. Spiritually, we have 11 right now going into the half.
All right. Let's call this a success. So far, nobody's complained that the echo happened. We were able to watch the game. We were able to record the show. I think the fidelity of the audio will be good enough to upload as a podcast episode as well.
The fact that you know what fidelity means lets me know that even if it's not good quality, you'll still make it work.
Oh, shit. I was sort of faking it, hoping that you wouldn't actually follow up and ask me what it meant.
Yeah, you can't say fidelity and not get the spotlight on it for a hot second.
All right, Billy, where can people listen to more of you?
Listen, man, if you're already on Twitter, you can follow me by just clicking my icon and probably hitting follow. Otherwise, nice. No Joke Podcast. A new episode dropped today. I'm talking to one of my best buddies about my Hawaiian trip from this past week, and that's on the HeadGum Network.
Aloha. Aloha, indeed.
Mahalo.
And then hopefully once cases in Los Angeles dip below 35,000 a day again, we can watch some basketball together.
That sounds like a plan. But until then, we can watch these games on our computers and Twitter space and podcast along.
The greatest space of all, Twitter space.
That's right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back as soon as humanly possible. Ciao, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.